Cinderella Chats. I'm your host, Cinderella Field. Yes, that's really my name, along with your co-host, Sandy Hunter. We are so excited to be here to share some insight about life, love, and relationships. So let's get to it.
Hey, Sandy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm so glad to be here in the studio because we, you know, of course, have missed a week. But, I mean, it was Easter and all that good stuff. And we had a short week that week. And we haven't talked since I had Beverly Willett on.
That's correct. That's correct. And it was a good one.
Thank you. Thank you. I think a lot of people thought so that listened to it. So I was very excited about that. And I'm sure Beverly is as well. So if you need to know more about Beverly, you can go to my website on the podcast page or on the blog and find a lot of information about her and where to find her. But she does have a website at beverlywillett.com, WILLETT.com, Beverly. BEVERLY. I did that totally backwards, but I'm sure the people listening to us are intelligent enough to know.
Yes.
Where to go.
Exactly.
That didn't sound right either, did it? Where to go. But that being said, she and I were going to talk a lot about why get married. And she has gone through a divorce and learned a lot, and she was an entertainment attorney.
Right.
At one point in her life when she met her husband, and he was an entertainment attorney, I believe, as well. So why I'm bringing this all up is it opened the door to talk about why get married. Why get married when divorce is so commonplace today?
Exactly. And I think I read somewhere this past week where there has been a decline in marriage within the state of Oklahoma anyway. But in a sense, I'm kind of thinking, okay, well, that's good to a point, but what were the reasons? What reasons are behind that? Is it just for people to be promiscuous longer without having, I mean, I'd like to know more in depth about that statistic. What's the general media of that statistic? Is it young kids or people that have already been married and divorced once? I mean, I'd like to know a little bit more about that because I thought, oh, that's great. And I thought, well, wait a minute. That's great and all, but are these people just moving in together?
Yes. A lot of people are living together, and you want me to tell you the statistics of living together first before getting married? Chances are that it's going to end in divorce eventually. Mm-hmm. And usually, I mean, a lot of times it happens even before they walk down the aisle. If they move in together, they may get engaged, plan the wedding and everything, and then decide not to do it. But if they do get married, and they have lived together first. I'm one of those statistics, and I was married for 27 years before the divorce was filed for and 30 years before it was over. So there's truth to it. And I, just like I said, and you know that I'm a big statistics person.
Oh, yeah.
So yes, that you're more likely to get divorced. There's only a very small percentage that make it through being married their entire life if they live together. So they're living together because a lot of people don't want to go through it. They've seen their parents. Right. A lot of younger people have seen their parents go through a divorce. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to do the same thing because divorce is very costly, very costly. Right. And we'll need to talk about that at some point. And I mean, some things need to change. Some things need to be reformed about the way divorce is done.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Especially in Oklahoma. And I can speak personally to that. And so can many, many other people that I know. Okay. Marriage is on the decline. It just is, because they've seen other people go through the things that they've gone through, and people that have been married before, mm-hmm. especially gray divorces are such a big deal today. And I know this to be factual, not just statistical, that people will live together because they don't want to lose their benefits.
Oh, sure.
Okay. From the first marriage, because it was usually a long-term marriage. So that's another reason that they're not getting married.
And when I just, what did I just hear the other day too? People are getting married that are not even in a relationship, because they get better benefits from their insurance company. They get better tax breaks. I have two different people that I know that have married their best friend, and they live two totally separate lives, but they are doing it for tax and insurance purposes.
You know, I've met one person that did that I worked with.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Well, I didn't work close to her at work, but I mean, she came over and told us about it one day, and yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's so,
I mean, it's just a loophole to take advantage of the system, but the system, we don't even want to get into that, because the system takes advantage of everyone from a tax standpoint and so many other standpoints, mm-hmm. as we are now finding out from Trump.
Right.
So, but the one thing that I think is important to talk about is what God says about marriage. And I go back to, and we'll read this, okay? It's Mark 10, 2 through 12. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" "What did Moses command you?" He replied, that was Jesus. They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." Now remember, listeners, we are talking about what Moses said, okay? Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to say in verse 5, "It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law," because there was so much upheaval and just people kicking out their wives because, I mean, it doesn't say this in the Bible for burning the toast, but for any reason,
sure,
they wanted to, right? Jesus replied, and told them this. He goes on to say, "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh." One flesh. Imagine that. Okay. "So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. He answered, "Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery."
Right. That's New Testament too.
Right. Right. That's not Old Testament, by the way, where Moses is the one that initiated that law, not God. And that's why Jesus says what he says. So that's what I'm going to say about that. And there's such division where that is concerned about Moses saying it versus God.
Mm-hmm.
Because Moses was given the Ten Commandments by God, supposedly. So,
I think there was just so much chaos. I mean, okay, so take, for instance, you have this entire Hebrew nation come out of bondage. Okay, so we know how it was when they were with Pharaoh. We know all of the signs that God sent down, the balls of fire, the locusts, death, you know, that came across. And they seen all these signs and miracles, even had the water split apart for them. Moses, you know, in today's time, they have went across that river. Is it the Euphrates River, I think? Anyway, they went across that river and they have found chariots at the bottom of that river. So they know that it was an actual happening. So you move this million people across this water, and you, after they've seen all of this, Moses is gone for 40 days and he comes down with Ten Commandments, God's laws. And what have these people done in 40 days' time? They've lost their ever-loving minds. They're sleeping with whoever. They're having free love. It's about a 60s repeat. You know what I mean? It's just crazy what they're doing. So I could see why he would say that, because I think he was probably trying to save some of their... I don't know what he was trying to do, but I think that was his purpose behind that.
Well, now, can you imagine the chaos that was going on?
I can't even begin to imagine.
I'm sure that's why he did it, but it has given, in my opinion, because of the division that I know that it's caused, because I've done so much research on this, that I've lost friends because of it.
Well, it's... Now that's getting ridiculous.
Well, I mean, but I have, and it's okay. You know, what I feel about everything is everybody's entitled to an opinion.
Yes.
But to me, God's word is different. God's word is God's word.
And you can't change it.
And that's why I say to you, even here, Sandy, is the Bible real or not?
Sure, it's real.
Okay. So we're either going to believe it or we're not.
Exactly.
And we have a tendency to not want to believe it when we want to do what makes us feel good.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. And most people, I mean, why do you think most people get a divorce today?
Well, because they're self-centered. There's a lot of that narcissistic spirit that walks around. It used to be called the Jezebel spirit. People are just more susceptible to it. I mean, Satan... You didn't ever hear about this stuff in the 50s. Everything was done behind closed doors, but Satan's so brave.
Well, we didn't have social media either.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Satan just walks right down Main Street now and flaunts it. He didn't care.
Well, he doesn't care anymore because guess what? I'll tell you first what statistically, and this is from PrEP. This is a marriage PrEP. But it's true, even if it's not from marriage PrEP, is lack of commitment.
I see that.
75% of it is lack of commitment, infidelity, or extramarital affairs. That's another big one. And that goes along with, you're not going to commit adultery if you don't have lack of commitment anyway.
Right.
Too much conflict and arguing, getting married too young, financial problems, substance problems, domestic violence, health problems, lack of support from family, and religious differences. Well, that's why I think that when Beverly and I talked last week, or I guess it was the week before, we talked about there needs to be mentoring, because young people and people still want to be in committed relationships, in marriages.
Sure.
They just don't know how to do it anymore because they've seen it done so badly.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'd like to know what the statistic was of what the divorce rate is with actual families who have children, because kids are a product of their environment. So whatever the parents put across as okay is how they're going to, that stems them in the direction that they're in their belief, how they're going to believe growing up.
Well, the statistics for children of divorced families that go on to get married end up divorced.
And I'm one of them. I'm one of those statistics. My parents were divorced.
Ditto. I mean, me too. And, you know, people will say this too. This is what I heard. It takes two to get a divorce. No, it doesn't. It just takes one. It takes two to stay together. I mean, I told you, I mean, I think I've said it before in the podcast that when I filed for the divorce, it was because, I mean, I got threatened that, you know, this person that left was going to divorce me. And it was just, I was fearful. And I went and talked to an attorney and then, you know, filed for the divorce and then wanted to take it back. And then the attorney wouldn't let me. That's the truth. Yeah. But
we are in that land of time right now where everything is processed so quickly. Get it done. And bam, wham, bam. Thank you, ma'am.
Right. But you need to tell an attorney needs to tell a person the truth when they walk into their office, because not only does it cost emotionally, it costs financially.
And that's where I just gave her the fingers of the money.
Yes.
Why would he want to let you go? He's got money to be made.
Absolutely. Because the first thing that they have you do is bring in they tell you on the phone, bring in your financial records.
I want to see how much you got.
And even one attorney that I talked to, he was on my Facebook and the person I was married to, his Facebook, and he was looking up who we were and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, they have a good indication.
Oh, sure they do.
About some things and your address. And, you know, they look up, you can Google a person's address and find out where they live and all that good stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a really interesting place that we're in. But I did hear this. I think that it really leads to the social media thing. Mm-hmm. Social media, the phone, has played such a pivotal part of marriage gone bad.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I mean, it's seriously.
Social media. I mean, anything that you want to look at, find, see, feed your mind with is right there. Porn. Do you want to look at porn? Do you want to look at things that have to do with drugs or alcohol or anything that distracts your eyes off God? I think.
Or off your family. Yeah, or off your wife.
I think it's an idol. And I think social media mm-hmm. is an idol. I do. I think our cell phones are an idol. Mm-hmm. I think it's stuff that distracts us, because if you don't, and I would care to debate anybody. I don't care who you are. You can think what you want to think, but this is my thought. If you don't put God at the head of your household, your marriage will have issues. Marriages have issues anyway.
All marriages.
Yes. But if you don't have God leading you, 9 times out of 10, you're going to find yourself in a divorce somewhere. Because you have to have 2 willing people who believe that they are one. And you have to have 2 people that are not unevenly yoked.
That's super important.
Yes, you have to have 2 people that believe in building their house on solid ground and not on shifting sand. You can't have one that's kind of out here loving the world and one that's not. And it's our job. We all fall short. We all stray off into different areas. But usually the other spouse has our foot, because we are one. So if I'm getting too far in the world, my husband will say to me, and he will say, did you pray about that? And it's just like smack right in the face, which I'm fortunate for, because there's a lot of times I'll drive myself nuts and he'll say, okay, this sounds all good and I'm glad you're going what you're going, but did you pray about that? And I do the same thing to him. He's fretting over something or something that would normally cause a conflict in marriage. I will just stop and say, I know we're in this heated argument or discussion is what I like to call them. But in this discussion, let me ask you, where you're coming with this, did you pray about it? And it's just like every time our eyes, both of us, just kind of stop and go, no.
But yes, but how many people claim to be a Christian, mm-hmm. but do not follow through,
right,
with the walk of Christianity?
Which comes back to your original number one thing, commitment.
Right.
On your list, lack of commitment was the number one reason at 75%.
75% lack of commitment.
For people to get divorces. Okay, that commitment means that you have each other's back. It means you're looking out for each other. It means you're committed as one to follow through on things together, not just one person over here making all the decisions, having all the responsibility of taking care of everything. A marriage is a fine oiled wheel.
It requires communication too.
Communication is huge.
Yes. And so if you have lack of commitment in your marriage, do you think that you have lack of commitment? Do you think that one has lack of commitment in their relationship with God, even though they pretend not to?
Absolutely.
Because if you said to God, if someone said, I'm going to divorce you, mm-hmm. when you say, well, wait a minute. This is until death do we part.
Until death do us part.
Yes, this is a covenant. This is a vow. God takes those very seriously. And what did I just read?
Yep.
And what I said.
Right. He does. I mean, that's God's word. I mean, that's the Lord speaking.
But yeah, people don't do that.
No, they don't. That's what I'm saying. It takes commitment. And in a marriage, that's why I think the last time I talked, I said it's just too easy. And this goes back to your education, the mentorship that you're talking about. Marriage should not be something that's taken lightly, but everybody gets caught up in the venue and the flowers and the food
and her dress and the cake,
all of this. And 9 times out of 10, they're coming. I've had people contact us because we are pastors. I've had them contact us and say, me and my husband are getting married in a couple weeks. Could we come do a counseling session for you? Because if we do, then our marriage license is only $50. I'm like, what? No. If you want to come to a counseling session about marriage, you need to talk to me about 6 months out before you get married. And we need counsel about marriage and what it's like.
And what do you, okay, let me ask you a question. So what do you tell a couple with the way the world is today? Mm-hmm. Because we've already said that a lot of people are living together.
Right.
So if a couple comes to you and they're going to get married, even if it's 6 months before, mm-hmm. if they do the appropriate thing, and they tell you that they're living together, what do you tell them?
Oh, they tell you that they're living together right now before.
Do you ask that question? Do you say, where are you guys living? Or do you not ask?
I never ask because it was always more on the personal side. And for the majority, the people that were getting remarried are the ones I would say were the ones that were more likely living together already, if that makes sense.
Young people are living together though.
I know. But I'm just saying, I can only speak specifically for what I dealt with.
I gotcha.
And for the majority of those, the young ones weren't married yet. The majority of them were either in college or coming right out of high school or something like that. My first timers that are just, you know, I've had people come in and just say, I just want to be a wife. You know God wants me to do this, but in my whole spirit growing up, I've had it on my heart. I'm to be a wife. That's all I want to do. You know, and so you can tell when you're talking to people, whether they're in it for the long haul or like that person just wants the $50 payout when they go to get their license, because they have to have a letter from a pastor saying that they have been counseled on marriage. Well, you can print those off on have GB Chat do it for you now. So I don't even know how official that is anymore, if that makes sense.
Well, I do believe that for the most part, there's a wrong focus on marriage. Mm-hmm. And I was having this discussion with someone very close to me the other day, and I don't think there's enough talked about before the marriage about expectations,
absolutely.
About your belief system, where your faith is concerned, your role, how important sex is. Mm-hmm. To you. I mean, seriously.
Financials, who's going to be in handling the financials, looking at all these, even your goals. Where do you see yourself in 10 years personally? I mean, are you all on the same page? Because it's going to be hard.
What kind of food do you like?
Yes,
I mean, are you a vegetarian and he's a meat eater?
Right. It's going to be hard if you have one that wants to be a world traveler and one that wants to be a stay-home mom. You're already looking at differences going right.
Polar opposites, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying opposites can't work, because they can. I've seen, you know, several marriages where people have been opposite, but it comes back to how committed are you? How committed to letting God rule your marriage are you? Are you committed to putting him first? Because it goes God, husband, wife, children. That's just the formulation. That's how it was created.
Even before your friends?
Yes, before your friends.
Really?
I hate to say that. But
shocking.
Yes, it is, you know. I understand. Well, my friends need me and my friends need this. And I hear a lot of things all the time. I'm like, no, your first priority is to your husband and your children, your household.
Mm-hmm. But what about before children? I mean, it still should be God first, then your spouse.
Yes, absolutely.
And then
the dog, whatever is after that.
Or, you know, your relationships with other people at church. I mean, you should definitely
have to have each other's back. Yeah. You have to have that oneness. When God put two people together to become one, that's that covenant. That's that one covenant that you have to hang on to. If that covenant is broke, it is so hard to repair and to rebound from. I can't say that it's not doable, because it is. But
well, that's what God wants. I mean, it's in scripture. That is what he wants, is restoration. He wants restoration with everything.
But the world has made it so easy to say, come on through the drive-thru and I'll give you a divorce. Counseling after a divorce. Where's the counseling after a divorce? Okay, now I'm not saying sit down and have this big counseling, but where are your mentors? Where are the people that you should be surrounding yourself with that say, hey, before you guys jump off on this boat here, let's take a look at some of these reasons why that we should be asking ourselves, we get divorced. Are they justifiable reasons? Are they reasons that God would be okay with? And I'm going to tell you, 9 times out of 10, they're not. You don't just get married, just get divorced because you are on a power trip and somebody won't give you what you're wanting. Someone won't fold or bend to their knees and let you rule them. I mean, you just don't get divorced because of that.
But what about if you met someone on a dating site, or you reconnected with your first love, you know, out of high school, and you've just decided, oh my gosh, I want to rekindle that feeling. It's just like feelings. I've heard so many things about feelings. I just don't feel like in love with that person anymore. I don't feel it anymore.
What's one of the commandments of Satan? Do whatever makes you feel good.
I mean, it's true.
There's 11 commandments of Satanism, and tell me if they don't just partake to everything that the human nature would love. If it makes you feel good, do it. If you don't want to do it, don't. Okay, so that tells me if that happens to a person, then I have to wonder where their commitment is.
To themselves.
Do they really have that commitment in the word go? Okay, so whenever they first got married, were they counseled about that? Was there a mentor telling them these are the things? See, you and I've had this conversation before, and I think it's just lack of education right out the door, right out the very front end of it. But you get people that say, well, you know, you have two atheist people that get married. Well, all I have to say is you're on your own. So I have no words for that, because all I can see is complete disaster. But that's me. I'm a Christian, and I feel like marriage is a covenant between God. Well, if you're atheist and don't believe in God, I can't help you, because I have nothing to say. There's nothing. You're not going to listen to me because you don't believe in God. So everything is nil and void at that part in time, as far as I'm concerned, because I have nothing. And I've had people come and want to get counseling because the state says they have to have it in order to get their marriage license. And both of them are non-believers. So I use it as my chance to do more or less, I want to say, spread God's word to them, to open their thought process on the whole Bible institution. And it basically was like hitting a brick wall. I mean, so when you have people, and then even the harder ones are when the ones that you have that are religious and one that's not, the evenly unyoked. They're unevenly yoked, and you're having to try to counsel them in the whole marriage. Because one over here thinks you're a nut job, which the other one has been raised in church and believes in covenant marriage. But they love each other. So what do you do as a pastor? What do you do? And that's the part that the lack of education.
Well, it's not just lack of education, but just like, I mean, you said it yourself when I said, do you ask people if they're living together? And you said, no, I really don't ask them that, because that's more of a personal thing. Mm-hmm. So I was involved in marriage ministry And I mean, that was one of the things that we were told to ask, because if they were, and they were, I mean, in order to get married in the church where we were members, they had to go through this process. And we would have to ask them if they were willing to live apart until the day that they were married, and not have, and if they were having sex, not to have sex again until the night of their marriage.
That's the whole church part. I mean, that's the part you say. I'm talking about not my parishioners. I'm talking about just the outside people coming in, because they need that state thing saying that they've had the counseling. Absolutely. Our own church members. I mean, there have been people that we've absolutely denied marrying because they've had issues that weren't, I don't want to say, yeah, I'll say it. They weren't in line with what God's word says.
So you saw some red flags.
Oh, absolutely.
Basically.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what you saw.
I mean, we even had several gay couples come and ask us to marry them, you know, and I'm like, well, because God tells us to love above all things, love. We love. Doesn't matter what color you are, what you do, who you choose to sleep with, we love. But there are things biblically written in God's word that says male and female are not, I'm sorry, that's just not a marriage. One woman, one man. You just read it. Woman, man. And so, no, I mean, we've had to tell people plenty of times, no, I can't marry you because that's not in the belief. That's not what God's word says. I'd be going against everything God said if I married you, but I can bake you a cake if you want me to, you know what I mean? Cause you still have to love those people, but you have to be true to who you are and what you believe. And I think that the whole counseling part is a huge piece that's just missing. It's just missing. You know, there's just too many pastors that, A, don't want to make anyone mad, number one, because...
Or upset them because of money. Again, I mean, exactly. It goes back to money. Or yes. If they'll go and, you know, I mean, people usually talk about their experiences. And
all bad talk. And guess what? Put it on social media. Mm-hmm. And so all these pastors just want to lukewarm everything down because they're afraid that it's going to hurt the pocketbook or hurt, you know... them financially. And I mean, that's just a risk we were never willing to take. We told people no, and we had people leave the church. But listen, you can't waver from God's word. You can't.
Well, I mean, you can, but there are going to be consequences. Absolutely. Whether it's here on earth.
Yes.
Or whether it's when you take your last breath.
You're absolutely correct.
Because getting into a wrong marriage and going through a divorce, people don't really think through the consequences. Sure. It does not just affect the couple. And if they have children, it affects their children, and it affects friends and absolutely extended family like crazy. I know what it's done in my own. And when there's another person involved from the very beginning, oh my gosh, the stuff that you experience. Sure. You know, because they don't understand, especially in long-term marriages. I mean, shorter-term marriages.
There's not a lot of vesting yet.
Right, and I'm talking about less than 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a lot of vesting in time yet.
Right. But still, don't you think that it would be better for, if there are children involved, for those children to grow up with their parents?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But when you have a marriage that's been intact for a very long time, 20 plus years, with gray divorce as a big a deal as it is today. Oh my gosh. It's very difficult. The children go through, I could tell you the statistics of it, of what they go through. And it makes it so difficult because they want a relationship with their mom and they want a relationship with their father. But if there's another person involved from the get-go, it makes it so, so difficult. And I mean, that's what happened with, I mean, Beverly has been very open about it. And that's what, I mean, I've had that experience as well. And I know a lot of other people that have.
Sure.
And it tears you apart. It just does. It's just not a good thing. So that's why I think that it was really important when Beverly and I had that discussion, and we'll talk about it in the next podcast of how we can go forward with some sort of mentorship or guiding people through this.
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So I think that's really a good place to stop.
Sure.
And say, you know, I mean, if you fall in love with someone, really think about the big picture, not
right.
just the feelings that are involved with it. Mm-hmm. So until next time, it's life, love, relationships, especially where marriage and family are concerned.
Absolutely.
If you enjoyed the show today, share it with your friends so they can listen in to our conversations about life, love, and relationships. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Cinderella Chats, the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. We look forward to our Tuesdays together and know you will too.